from Andromedan contactee Alex Collier.
Alex Collier.
Alex Collier. Webinar 11. The topic is creating your holograph and maintaining it, as well as some current stats. And there will also be a question and answer session at the end.
June 2016, webinar number 11. On you go.
God, you know, it's amazing. We've made it this far. it's interesting. Had no idea what would happen when we started this. And it's gone by pretty quick. I just want to make a shout out to James, JP, Rainbow, Tim, Michael K, Candace, JMG, and all of you. Thank you for supporting these webinars. There is so much going on that we are talking about doing two, starting in August, the first Friday and the third Friday. And we'll see how it goes. We'll see if the support's there for it or not. And if it is, then we'll continue to do so. There is a lot to talk about before we get into the creating the holograph. And if you're paying attention to world events, there is an awful lot going on. And it's very, very difficult to get a grasp on exactly what's happening. In the sense that there appears to be some very positive things, and then the exact polar opposite going on at the same time. And this would be a correct analogy of pretty much what's going on. And it is interesting to see this as life rolls on. And as we have talked about in previous webinars, it is very, very important to remain the observer if you can. Okay, and especially when you can. And the reason for that is to be able to clearly see what is unfolding in front of us. On a positive scale, Hercopolis, Planet X, Nibiru is still in a holding pattern. I have some information that I can give you, and that is that one of the Anunnaki bloodlines is very much involved in much of the dark energy that's occurring here on the planet. And from what I've been told as of just a few days ago, the Anunnaki themselves, the Nibiruans, are very, very upset about this particular bloodline and the shenanigans that they've been up to here. So it'll be interesting to see if this particular bloodline kind of vanishes or is called to the table or is called to the carpet, is exposed for exactly what it's doing and it has been doing. It'll be interesting because much of that's been going on in the background is being forced to the forefront for everybody to see. I also want you to know that I am getting an awful lot of flack about talking about Planet X and Nibiru. And I want you to know up front, before all the bashing starts and the discrediting and yada, 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 the things that go with the territory of doing this kind of work, I want you to know that I absolutely stand by the information I've shared with you. Okay? There will be no apology. There will be no retraction. I am telling you, I'm standing by the information because I know it to be true. Now, I want you all to know that right up front, okay, before the games commence, which they will be doing here shortly, probably shorter than I want. Okay, but that's just what it is. And you know, it's interesting, there are some speakers, one in particular, who says that it doesn't exist at all. And he goes by a single word acronym. And I have to tell you straight away that I'm not sure whose side he's on, frankly. I'm really not. And then there's someone else who said that Planet X Nibiru was destroyed in 2013. That is just not accurate information either. And it isn't that I'm bashing anybody. That's not my intent. Okay. But we have to prepare ourselves for tremendous change. And if you're not paying attention, then you're not witnessing the dramatic change that's taking place in global politics, with the theocracies, with religions, etc., that is occurring on the planet, especially on the surface. Not to mention what's going on under the surface, such as the volcanoes and earthquakes and the staggering, bizarre weather that is, in fact, occurring all over the planet that isn't much being talked about. To understand what's happening on the surface and the appearance of people really losing it, snapping, the explosion of anger, of frustration by so many globally, it's important to understand that the frequency of the planet is rising. And this is called the Schumann resonance. Okay? Now, it is happening not only because of the consciousness of the planet, but it is also rising because the frequency emanating from black holes is rising. And at the same time, as if that weren't enough, our entire solar system is moving across the galactic plane, which is surrounded by a field of plasma energy, which is basically electricity, okay? And we are passing through that, and it is of a very high frequency as well. So what we have is we have all of these elements combining together, and what is happening is that people who are not grounded, spiritually centered, whose bodies are not altogether that healthy, or who don't meditate, they have no way to channel or move the energy through their physical bodies. And what's happening is they're sort of shorting out, and the energy is building, and they are exploding with emotion. And some of that is emotion held in the body. Some of that is disease held in the body. Some of that is past life energy. It is guilt from present life. It is many numerous different things. And what's happening is that they are just exploding because they don't know what to do with the energy. And we're going to see more and more of this, unfortunately. And as we do see this, it is imperative to bless everyone who's involved, and to continue as best we can to hold a field of positive energy for the whole planet and for all humanity. I can't tell you how imperative this is, okay? Because we're the ground. This was one of the reasons why the Patal fell through time to come here, is so that we could hold the frequency, okay, of grounding, of love, of a sense of purpose, of the original intent for the creation of humanity, for the creation of ourselves, to evolve physical form through third density into fourth, into fifth. That was the intent, one of the intents, okay? To basically take a physical form and make this transition. So those of you who know, those of you who are awakening to know, those of you who are wondering what the hell I'm talking about, those of you who haven't got it yet, welcome. Welcome to this drama that is, in fact, planet Earth. So, again, that's why it's important to be the observer, so that you can ground and you can hold the frequency of compassion, of love, of understanding, of patience, of calmness for humanity. Because as things start ricocheting, as the emotions just slam back and forth, it is very, very important that there be a grounding center point, so that the energy will eventually, as the ripples begin to calm, that the energy will eventually find its medium, and there will be us holding the frequency of calmness. This is what many of us came in here to do. Because this is a very, very big scenario that's being played out here. Now, if you can remember in the older notes before the webinars, where I had talked about that Morne and Fasaeus had said that there were 22 star systems that were very much in the same predicament that we were in. I want you to know that 19 of those are free. 19 of those star systems are now free. The yoke of deceit, of deception, of slavery, of the negative side, the negative force, is no longer there. These star systems are now free. There are three that are pending freedom. One of those would be us. Okay? And I don't know in the three where we are as far as a number. Are we one, two, or three? Or are we three, two, or one? I don't know what that is. Okay, but the word pending is what I'm holding on to. Okay, so there's a lot of movement. If you're also paying attention, there is a great deal of New World Order activity going on. This is to be expected. When they get cornered, this is what they do. They lash out against humanity, because basically they're weak. And because if they weren't weak, they wouldn't lash out at humanity. They wouldn't hide in the shadows. You know, they would stand up front and say, look, this is what we need to do. This is the way we want to go. But that's not who they are. Okay? But you're hearing a lot of it. You're hearing about all these draconian laws, declarations of war. This is all designed to create fear, to create more stress on a humanity that is burdened by so much stress and the weight of frequency changes on the planet. Now, the Schumann residence was somewhere between 7 and 8 for thousands of years. Then it jumped to 14. It's now over 30. Okay? I've heard 36, but I haven't been able to confirm it. But I have confirmed over 30. That's a staggering rise in frequency. But it's happening nonetheless. I mean, this is just what it is. And for those of us who are holding the light, holding the frequency, you know, for the others to catch up, this is what it is. I mean, we're literally going to be forced to evolve and to jump dimensions. That's just what it is. Those of us that have agreed to this, we are going to be forced to jump dimensions. Now, what that looks like, I don't know. I don't know that it's been done a lot, if ever, in what we know as our universe. But nonetheless, that's what's happening. Also, in previous notes, I talked about how many people had come back in time to right a terrible wrong. And this has to do with this having played out once before and it not gone well. So there was a redo. Okay? There was a redo. There were Star systems came back in time, yes, they can time travel, to do things differently. I want you to know that here on Earth, the changing of the financial system wasn't even a consideration the last time. That has been added to this redo. Okay? That's a significant change, not only for humanity, but also for the extraterrestrials to actually include that and to have to come to grips with what that system is, because none of them actually use this kind of a system. So, much to their credit, they did institute this, and they're learning as we are as well. Okay, so I thought that that was noteworthy to mention. Those of you that are Patal, and again, what I'm referring to is beings who were at 11th density and decided to fall back into time into third. There are some of you who are 9th dimensional. There are some of you who are 8, some who are 7, some who are 6, some who are 5, okay, that have fallen into time to third density, to hold the frequency here. Understand that even as you are making changes here, even as you are holding the frequency here, you are also holding the frequency on 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th. You are holding the frequency not only here in third density, but there as well, because you are multidimensional beings. And what I'm saying is there's a rod for, as an analogy, there's a rod of light, a beam of light that spans through time, connected to Earth from your point of origin, okay, where the intention was to come down and hold the light here. You have access to all that data, to all that knowledge, to all that you are, to decisions that you've made. You still have the ability to call in that information. The idea that, you know, you're stuck here, that's literally a belief system. And if you don't believe it, if you believe that you have access to all that you are, eventually your subconscious mind will relinquish and you will be able to tap into that. Now, there are other ways you can do that as well. Okay, and we're going to talk about two of those ways today. Meditation. In meditating, listening to the silence within the silence, if you can get into the theta space where you literally see yourself lifting outside of your body and you see the totality of your being, what you think is the totality of your being, and what I'm talking about is the large orb of light. When you know that you're in that space, you have the ability to literally create what you want in this third density from there. In other words, once you know that you're there, that you're above your body, all you have to do is start declaring with your intention what it is that you want in your physical life here, whether it be abundance, whether it be a love, whether it be romance, whether it be a new car, a new home, what world travel, whatever it is. When you are out of your space, when you are out of your physical form, in your spiritual zone, if you focus on exactly what you want in that space, you will manifest it so fast it'll blow your minds, because your subconscious is completely out of the way. It is not telling you you can't have it. that you don't deserve it, that that's impossible. There is no impossible, okay? That's one of the ways to do it. When you know you're in that space, intend what it is that you want, whether it's that new car, and allow yourself to go to that new car wherever it is. And once you see it, you see yourself in it, and you see it at your house in front of where your body is now meditating. Okay? These techniques really, really work by bypassing the subconscious mind. The other trick is that for those who are dreamers, who sometimes don't always get into theta when they meditate, but they dream incredibly lucid. They're travelers when they dream. They know they're out of their body. And when they're out of their body, they're traveling. They're going to see friends, or they're having these other experiences, or they're going to starships. They're going to classes with other people to find out, to learn about what's happening here, Earth history, Earth future, all of those different things. And you all know who you are. If you could take a few moments when you're out and you know you're out of your body and you know that you're in the dream, you can do exactly the same thing. Travel to what it is that you want. Intend what you want. Vesalius once said that physical reality is a mirror of spiritual intention. Okay? Physical reality is a mirror of spiritual intention. We just need to remember that. We need to remember that we are creating this. That this is a reflection of what's going on inside. And it's important to believe, to know, that you are here in third density, you are in fourth, you are in fifth, you are in sixth, you are in seventh, etc., etc., etc. Now, I realize it might be difficult for some people to understand. But if you can go in theta during a meditation, if you can travel during your dream time, you can go to places. You can call upon guides, counselors that know you, that have helped you, that continue to help you, and you can get information regarding who you are and who you've been and what your original intention is for being here. Now, this is really, really important because things are going to get really strange here, as if they're not already. You're going to get really, really strange. And it is important to have your spiritual center grounded, that you know, no matter what is going on, that you are a spiritual being. You are not trapped in physical form. Okay? Therefore, you don't need to be afraid. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get the full court press of fear. We are absolutely going to do it. They're pulling out all the stops, because the bad guys are cornered, and this is what they do. They react, and they spew their shit all over everybody else. Okay? Their fear, their anger, their hatred, their bigotry, their despise, their deceit, they just spew it all over humanity. Okay? And we're seeing it now. Because they simply refuse to change their face. They just won't change their face. They won't change their mind about who they are. So, it is imperative that we do this. And I was specifically asked to talk about this and to remember that you are creating your holograph. If you can get into those places, you can pretty much bypass time as we know it and begin to manifest these things that you want. And the more clearer you are about these things, the more focused you are on these things, and the more time that you spend on these things, I mean, focused on, okay, I am absolutely crystal clear about what it is that I want. And in those two scenarios, bypassing the subconscious mind completely, you can pull those things right to you because now you are directly in the realm of spirit, okay? And you are calling these things forth. And there is no impossible. It simply doesn't exist out there, okay? It just doesn't exist. I have been working with this myself. I am beginning to absolutely see results. What's also important, and another reason for this, is, ladies and gentlemen, the scientific world, the pharmaceutical companies, they have been tweaking our DNA through chemicals, through vaccines. Now they're openly talking about manipulating the genome. It is really, really important to remember that you are a spiritual being, okay? Because a lot of this is going to be, it's going to be overwhelming in the sense that we're going to be listening to this ridiculous gibberish about why they have to do certain things and that this is actually a good thing. All the while knowing that this isn't a good thing. This is just another manipulation, another way to control and to subdue humanity. We can't buy into it, okay? We simply can't buy into it. The idea of a spiritual life is to be free. It isn't to be a slave. It isn't to be trapped in physicality. Nowhere is that part of the definition of a spiritual life. Okay? That is a term or a definition known as tyranny. And I can tell you, those of us who are multidimensional, which are all of us, that was not the agenda. That was not the agenda at all. In changing your reality by going into theta, by going into the dream state, okay, dream traveling, by changing your frequency there, you will automatically change your frequency here. So what's happening is we are reinforcing the creative change that the universe is already creating for everyone. But what's helping this is that you individually are directing your own change. You are now in the driver's seat. You are now taking responsibility for the change. It isn't where you're going to be carried by the wave. You can use the wave to get to where you want to go, but that's the point. Use the energy, use the frequency to move you where you want to go. Don't stand on the beach and say, geez, I wonder if this wave is going to take me to Riverside. Or, you know, if I'm standing on a beach in China, will this take me to Peking? You don't have to do that. If you have a goal, if you have a destination, if you have a clear intention of what it is you want, that wave will take you where you want. That's the point. And in the process, you not only empower yourself, you empower your holograph, and you empower those who touch or are in your holograph. And I'm referring to your loved ones, your dear ones, and even those you don't like too much, okay, that you have to work with or that live in your building, etc. You get the idea, your neighbor, right? Those people will automatically experience the shift in frequency, even if they're a brick. So this is all about holding the frequency. And it's important to remember this, to stay in the space. Because we're about to get the full court press. Okay? those holding the negative force, the regressive energy, have had optimal amount of time to shift their frequency, to shift their vibration. And they haven't done it. And it doesn't appear that they're going to. Therefore, steps are going to be taken. There is going to be a clashing of not only frequencies, but of ideology and theosophy. Okay? And it's literally right in front of us that these things are going to occur. And I implore you to remember that, to not buy into the drama, to not buy into the emotion, to not feed the negative field with fear. There are enough people who have already bought into that have not only disempowered themselves, but are allowing others to disempower them. Okay? We can't go there. We know better, and we should know better. It's imperative to stand back and hold the frequency of love. That's what's important. Those around you who are showing extremes of emotions, who are pretty scattered, and who are bouncing off the walls because they simply don't know what to do with themselves, it is really, really important that you remain calm around those people, okay? Because, again, you'll be the grounding rod. You don't necessarily have to preach. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to coach if you don't want. But just to listen, to just remain grounded, to talk in a very calm, gentle, loving manner will go a long, long way to dispersing some of that anger, that energy. Because what's happening is their body doesn't know what to do with it. Okay, the body is no more than an antenna. Okay, a radio antenna, a holder of frequency, a generator of frequency, hence the creator of dimensions, the ability to create the holograph. But the energy is skimming so high, so fast, that they don't know how to process it. And it's usually because they don't have a spiritual center. It could also be that they have emotional blocks, physical ailments, and the energy cannot move through them. It's being blocked. This could make things a lot worse, especially on a physical level. It could speed up disease. It could cause other complications. On an emotional level, it could cause people to literally skits out, to become extreme on a heartbeat of notice, a behavior that would be considered irrational. And it's this frequency. It's absolutely is this frequency. And then, of course, we have the regressives feeding this frequency with fear, because this is what they do. This is all they've ever done, is done this. Okay? But understand that the shadows that they've been hiding in are now being illuminated. And the more and more illuminated they get, more and more will we be able to see what's been going on in the background. And I mean, just what we've learned in the last 5 years has been remarkable, or 10 years, about what's going on regarding the reptilians, the archons, the extraterrestrials of all shapes and sizes, of both intentions, planetary archaeology, galactic archaeology, the discoveries of what's on other planets. It's just remarkable. Even the archaeology here on the planet, just in the last couple of months, a stunning amount of information has been coming out about what was discovered, the Egyptian artifacts that were uncovered in the Grand Canyon. photographs that were never out before have been released very quietly. So there's a remarkable amount of knowledge that's coming out, and the whole purpose of it is for us to absorb that we are far greater than we have ever been told we are, that we have a much more significant history than we have ever been told before, and that we play an amazing role in the evolvement of not only Earth, but the interaction that we will have with other star systems, some of which are already here, some of which are walking the planet as we speak. You may even know some of them without even knowing that you know some of them. Okay? There are absolutely boots on the ground. There is. They have been here for some time. In fact, you know, you're one of those boots on the ground as well. Okay? None of our souls were born and hatched on Earth. It didn't happen. Okay? No matter what they tell you. And, you know, as far as the religions, the theologies, you know, the regressives, whenever they get cornered, they always go to religions. They always stir the pot. They always, you know, light that flame of religion against religion, philosophy against philosophy. My God's better than your God. And here we go again. Okay? You would think humanity would figure this out by now. But, you know, all the matches have been lit. Okay? Their last cake, all the candles on it are now lit. It's imperative that we hold the ground to what's going on. That we hold the light of love, we hold of patience, of calmness, of spiritual grounding here, the light. And you're already doing it. What I'm asking is that you put a little bit more intention into not only holding the light, but also creating your own joy and happiness. There is no reason this cannot be a really great experience. Even though it may not look like it's going to be a really great experience. But there is no reason why you cannot continue to create your holograph, your joy, and at the same time, hold the light for others to come to you and feel your frequency and empower themselves through your frequency. How about we do some questions? You guys up for that? An hour of questions? 50 minutes of questions?
Okay, here we go. Alex. So, now you can hear me. I can, I'm just, all right, so I brought myself back in now. There you go. Something, I think they've changed the way this works. I'm not sure, but it seemed to be much easier for me to come back on the show. Anyway, well, very interesting topics there. And we have a large amount of questions. And I'm going to start from the beginning and go on through the middle and finish at the end, if I can. So, first of all, this addresses the Nibiru. I hear that the Anunnaki story in Nibiru are not true, so please tell us what is out there. Well, you've already covered that, haven't you?
Yes, I absolutely stand by the information. And you have your own free will, obviously. I stand by what I've been sharing and what I've been told. And I have to defend it. So that's where I'm at.
Okay, well, you know, it's everybody's got their perspective, and who knows? They all may be true. That's the interesting, you know, because of these different time realities. Anyway, so this is from Nancy. Hi, Alex and JP. Alex, is your bag better? And how can we financially help and support your work?
For the most part, my bag is better. I will tell you that I'm still experiencing a lot of physical discomfort from past surgeries. But what I've been doing is I've been taking curcumin at night, and it's helped tremendously with the pain and the inflammation associated with that. And I take three at night before I go to bed, and I usually do very, very well through most of the day. And then by the time my body starts to hurt again, it's time for my next three and time to go to bed. I have found that to be the only thing that really works, other than Aleve, which is a very strong ibuprofen. But, you know, I can't take that every day because it'll destroy my liver. So that's kind of what I've been doing. And, you know, as far as supporting, I get some donations here and there. There are some wonderful people that help. And, but, you know, the webinars, I mean, just supporting the webinar helps a lot, you know. You know, we're all doing the best we can. I know that we are all doing the best we can. And, you know, I'm just so grateful for the help I had received already.
Okay, so thank you. Now, do you know what the Mandela effect is?
I do not.
All right, so I'll give you a nutshell. Essentially, people, it's called the Mandela effect because certain people remember Nelson Mandela dying in the 90s. Some people see remember him dying a few years ago, and then there was this very strange thing where he died in April, and then they said he died in September or something like that. But basically, it's the effect. Well, that's my opinion. All right, so it's people have different memories about events that have happened in the past. For instance, now what's the classic one is the Bernstein Bears and the Bernstein Bears. Like people remember these two different spellings. Well, people remember a spelling, but every time you look it up, it's different. So there are different potential explanations for this, and including the one where people are actually messing about with the history that's available on the internet. People say it's about timelines and people's different memory of different timelines. So that's the question, basically. Would you comment on the Mandela effect, because it's got quite a hype on the internet during the last few weeks?
Okay, well, I'll have to research that when I can. But we have talked in the past, and I've talked about this for 20 years, and so have other speakers talked about different timelines, and that timelines were created with the use of the misuse of alien technology, such as the Montauk chair, the Nazis played some games with some things. The British have changed the timeline as well, experimenting with technology. And then, of course, we have CERN. So, yes, timelines were created that were going in very different directions. But if you remember, years ago, we talked about the fact that these timelines were all being merged into one. And from my understanding is that they have been all merged into one, but what's happened is that the memory, the multidimensional part of you, or the people who are experiencing these things, you are, when the timelines merge, so are your memories. Okay? Again, you're multidimensional. You can be in several different places at once, not physically, but spiritually. Now, the fact that spiritually you're on another dimension means that you also, in most cases, will have a physical form. But spiritually, you are always connected to you, no matter where you are. Your physical forms would not be connected to other physical forms. Okay, for example, your physical form in third density is not connected to your physical form in fifth density. Spiritually, though, on a soul level, your soul aspect on fifth is connected to your soul aspect on third. There's never a separation there. So what is happening is that as these timelines were merging and are merging, well, my understanding is that they are merged, as they were merged, you brought the memories in with you, causing the conflict. Not to mention the fact that DAs have said, and they weren't the only ones involved in this, that they came back in time to correct something that went terribly wrong, which means this has happened before. And it could be that before was different than what it is now. Okay? I mean, we could spend a lot of time just talking about that.
Yeah, it's the most fascinating thing. There was a TV show called Fringe, which was about how, you know, the effect of a catastrophic timeline merging with our timeline. And there's a lot of talk about fringe, as in like, the hair fringe. Or fringe science, you know. Fringe.
I can give you some pointers towards it.
Excellent show. Excellent show. All about paper. All about paperclip Nazi scientists' experiments and timelines and children and what happens 20, 30 years later when they grow up.
Well, that sounds fascinating.
It is fascinating. And about two timelines and alternate realities. Anywho, excellent question, because that's really what's going on and why people might remember you in a different way. You know?
I haven't heard it.
There might be a bad Alex and a bad JP and a bad James in another dimension that are trying to mess about with this very webinar. Anyway, from Mike, are you familiar with the Blue Sphere Alliance?
I have heard of it, and I believe it's associated with another contactee. And I've been asked this question before, what do I know about the Blue Alliance? I don't know anything about the Blue Alliance. But I have some questions regarding the Blue Alliance based on some things that I've heard. But I'm not in a position to really comment about those because I haven't done enough research of my own into it. And I haven't had an opportunity to ask Mornay directly about it. Because, you see, he may know it as something else if it's even real. So I don't know.
Would you like to have a conversation with that aforementioned person?
Why don't we get to the questions first?
Yep. So, this is just a thing.
Have that conversation.
Michael Hudson. Hello, Alex. Thank you for doing this webinar. Question. My son is a contactee, but I'm not sure if he's being contacted by the good side or the bad. He is in a group of people that have the same experiences. How can I guide him, and how would he know it's the good side?
Michael, you have my email, ivanhoe1818@log.com. Send me your phone number. Let's have that conversation. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Next question.
Good, good. From Mark, are they cloning important people? Can they move the consciousness into the clone? What is the difference between a clone and a twin?
Okay. They've been doing that for quite some time, actually. And my understanding is, no, they don't actually move the soul. The aliens have the ability, but they haven't given that to humans. Basically, what happens is that inside the brain, it's a microprocessor. And essentially what they do is they download a mirror copy of the brain without the soul. So it acts like it, has the same mannerisms, can speak virtually the same. On the surface, it looks very much like the same being, but it isn't. I also know that physically, there are some changes, some differences, that they're not exactly exact replicas. I don't know if the souls are being freed or if the souls are being captured. It was my understanding that they were not allowed to capture any more souls. But, you know, the bad guy, the dark side, they don't play by the rules. They don't even play by their own rules. You know, they just constantly keep changing the game to try to get one up on everybody else. It's always power over. So that's a really good question. But, yes, that has been going on for quite some time.
Thank you. Lori's Lair at Gmail. When a holograph is placed in your brain and you awaken within it, you actually think you're in a cave or somewhere. That part of your apartment has been moved into it. However, the cave part will disappear if you happen to walk through one of the people there. How can you get rid of the holograph? Well,
okay.
I've just walked into a conversation here. It's just like, anyway.
Okay, well, your experience is far different than my experience. I'm not in a cave. I am free, and I am in the universe somewhere, surrounded by galaxies and stars and suns and an immense amount of love. And once I know that I'm in the holograph, I own the holograph because it is my holograph. Doesn't belong to anybody else, you know. So the question is, why would you want to get rid of the holograph? To the person who wrote this, walk out of the cave. Just walk out of the cave, you know. Just leave the cave and go somewhere else. Or just think you're somewhere else and you'll be there. So I've not had your experience, so it's kind of difficult for me to relate to that. But don't be afraid of it. You don't need to get rid of the holograph. You need to own it. Declare it as yours and then change it. Change it into what you want. But you need to know what you want. No one else can do that for you.
Okay. This one's from Tiffany. Any updates on what the holdup is concerning releasing the people who are being tortured day and night by regressives and cabal, no-touch torture technology like TI and microwave beams and things like that? Why are people still suffering this when we're being released, you know, that sort of thing?
I wish I had an answer for that, Tiffany. I don't. I don't know what the delay is. I don't know why it's still occurring. I'm appalled that it is still occurring, and it's a source of deep regret that this is happening. And it definitely needs to stop. It's just, it's all bullshit. It really is. But I don't have that answer. I wish I did. I just don't know. I don't know why it's continuing or being allowed to continue. Maybe the only way to stop it is all-out war. That certainly won't help anything, you know. So I don't know.
Thank you. This is a question from Alcyone. According to some researchers, the oldest civilizations discovered on the planet belong to melanated black and brown people. Most Caucasian civilizations do not predate melanated civilizations such as the Olmecs of South America. Why are these rarely mentioned in the exopolitics discourse? Yes, the natural earth people.
Okay, well, you might be surprised to know that they have discovered in South America another civilization along with physical remains that goes back 25 million years. And that is not the Olmecs. Okay? Earth has quite the history. It has quite the history. And it has been an outpost for spacefaring nations, civilizations, forever. You know? What I mean forever, like a billion years. We're going to find older civilizations than even that. or remains of them on the planet. Some of them were us. Many of them were not. Many stayed here. They took advantage. They experimented. They left. They genetically altered DNA of life forms that were here. They enjoyed the beauty that Earth was at that particular time, a jungle, tropical paradise with an assortment of what we would call prehistoric animals, but to them, they were living alive at the time. And then they moved on. Others stayed here. They created colonies. And then through Earth shifts, disasters, et cetera, some of them died. They were not able to leave the planet. Earth has a remarkable history. And I can absolutely guarantee you the Olmecs were not the oldest. Not even close. Not even close. JP, next.
Luca. Hello, Alex. Do you think there is still a chance that the Earth will tilt a certain number of degrees because of Planet X? And will this mean massive tidal waves washing inland? Is Portland, Oregon safe from the water at 65 miles inland, by the way? Thank you for all your work.
You're welcome. It is my sincere hope that based on the talks that have been in helping Earth, is that there won't be a pulse shift. It's also possible that a slight pulse shift is supposed to occur. At the present moment, I don't know. But it is interesting that many military bases around the world are moving their equipment inland, away from the shore. It could be that it's just in case, or it could be that they actually expect some kind of an event. With Nibiru in a holding pattern, I don't think anybody knows exactly what's going on here on the surface. Of course, they know outside what's going on because there's constant communication going on with the galactic forces that are out there. We'll just have to wait and see. If the dark side had their way, they would make this thing happen and they would kill a whole bunch of people to create more fear and to get rid of us useless eaters, as they call us. But I believe, based on their desperation, that they basically have already lost the war. Okay? And that we're just playing the last little bits out. And if that's the case, and there has to be a pole shift, I believe humanity will be given time to protect itself and to move inland if that's what's meant to occur. You know, that's how I would do it.
Right. Okay. So those are the easy questions. I know this one is very uncomfortable for you, so you know, take a deep breath. This is,
but do you have to ask it? Is it going to be that uncomfortable?
Well, I mean, it's an uncomfortable topic, but it's about Dulce.
That's right.
About Dulce.
Oh, okay.
What goes on at Dulce?
What did go on at Dulce?
Let's say.
Oh man, that's such a negative field. That is so negative field.
Yeah, I know, that's a bit uncomfortable and it's a bit old school. Yeah.
Your worst nightmare multiplied by 10. An absolute disregard for any type of humanity, not only by humans but also by extraterrestrials. All under the guise of discovering military technology. Sanctioned by scientists. Okay?
I've heard about an energetic event that might happen that could raise the consciousness of many people around the world in just a few days. When it happens, what effect will it have on the plans of the psychopaths for humanity? If that is what's going to happen.
What will happen to the psychopaths of humanity? Is that right? Is that what I heard you say?
What effect will it have on the plans of the psychopaths for humanity? Or the plans for humanity by the psychopaths?
Well, if they're losing it now, I can only imagine their fuzzy little heads will pop, will explode, if this happens, if it jumps any higher over a three-day period. I'm not aware of such an event. It could speed things up. Like I said, their little fuzzy heads could explode, which means that they would then be out of the way. There's probably pros and cons to it, but not knowing anything about what it is and any parameters, you know, it's really difficult to say. What would it do to humanity as a whole? I mean, so many people are already struggling on an emotional level, you know, and most of them haven't got a clue as to what's going on. You know, they're just exasperated. They're hyper. They're moody. They have incredible swings of emotions, you know, and they think they need to take pharmaceutical drugs when basically what's going on is spiritual energy is entering their life, and they're not being given any guidance to what that is and how to even approach it and absorb it and process it, you know, in any way, shape, or form. So, gosh, I hope it doesn't happen that way. I don't know that humanity would be able to handle it very well. At the present time, I don't know that humanity could handle it very well.
And it's pretty intense already.
It is. I mean, just the stuff that I've seen in the last couple of weeks, this morning here at the library waiting for it to open, some guy went off on this little old lady for no reason whatsoever. And three gentlemen, including myself, started approaching this guy, and he turned around and ran away like he was a cat burglar, you know. But he just went off on this poor old woman for no reason whatsoever. And it just wasn't right. It's not okay, you know, and I've seen a lot of things like that all over. So, anyway, I digress.
So, thank you. No, they're all, you know, these are all life events that everybody's experiencing, you know, people, you know, road rage and all of that stuff. What I've found is that these emotional bursts are parts of themselves that are coming up to be healed, but nobody's around to recognize that they're needing healing because everybody else is coming up to be healed. Okay, so this is from Karen. Have the A's taught you any techniques to help us remember who we really are?
I gave you two earlier today.
There you go.
When you're in theta, or if you're dream traveling, you know that you're in the dream. Connect to you. Just connect to you. Intend to know you. To contact other parts of you. I promise. You'll get the call. You will absolutely get the call. Okay? And you'll know. Then you'll know. And when that happens, what's her name? Who asked the question?
This is from Karen.
Karen, you will be so incredibly self-powered, so full of self-empowerment. Girl, you'll be blown away. You'll be blown away.
Excellent. So in a similar vein, and this again reminds me of TV shows, because all these TV shows have got the stuff in it, and this is TV show Heroes, which was on about 10 years ago now, where people were waking up with superpowers. So this is Andres Splunkdockricordre, I think. My cousin is meditating frequently, and she has unlocked being able to see the future and predict certain things. How can she cope with this new consciousness and accepting this?
The future is never set. It is constantly in flux. And what changes it is people's ability to see it, people's ability to want to change it, people's ability to do something different, to want something different than a perceived future. For example, if tomorrow every news station on the planet said, on September 1st, the world is going to end, okay, how many people would sit back and just say, okay, we're done? Or how many people would say, no, it isn't going to end. We're not going for that. We're not buying into that. We're going to do something different. Okay, the majority of people would do something different. Okay? And that's the whole point. Now, I don't know what she's coping with, but what she needs to know, if she doesn't already, is that she's only seeing a probability. Okay? And that's all any future is a probability. It can change, it can shift, it's unlimited what those probabilities can be. What she could do, though, is turn that into a positive, if she hasn't already, and to turn those things that she sees into positive events. And only she would know how to do that based on whatever it is that she's seeing. Okay, what's her intention to see these things? There has to be a spiritual intent. There has to be. Because your very existence, her very existence, is based on a spiritual intent. Okay, the intention. So what is her intention? That's only a question she can answer. But it's definitely the question to ask. Okay? That's the question she has to ask. What is my intention in seeing this? To want to see this? You know? And then once she has that answer, what is my intention? Is my intention now to make this a positive experience? Or a negative experience? What does she want with this ability? Next question.
D'accord. From Jean-Claude in Ottawa. No. Alex wants to schedule a personal one-on-one Skype call with you. And I think a lot of other people would also. And it would also help finance you and things like that. Are you open to, well, I mean, that's what he wants. Are you open to having that kind of thing?
Yeah, I'm open to.
Good. Okay, we'll sort that out then.
Yes, we will. You and I and James will talk about that.
Indeed.
Okay,
from
so
Nancy.
Jean-Claude,
sorry.
We will get to that. Jean-Claude, we will get to that.
Thank you, Jean-Claude. Nancy says, I feel we will be on the right track when Hillary is arrested. Do you see that happening?
The criminals, they never arrest their own, you know.
Yeah.
I have no idea what's going to happen. I mean, I am so displeased with both. There's not even a lesser of two evils this time. I just don't know. She should be. No question about it. She should be. But will she be? I don't know. I just simply don't know. But she should be. It's even worse than we know. I'm sure of it.
So much worse. The word body count follows the word Clinton too much.
Oh,
so,
oh.
Right. Oh, that's an interesting one. From Mark, what genes did they change with the N1H1 vaccine?
If I don't know.
Genes,
you don't.
Okay. Now, here's an interesting one, neither flat nor round. Russell, hi, Alex. Have the A's ever talked about the shape of the Earth? Some say Earth is a fragment of Maldek's destruction. I don't feel flat Earth is a right, nor do I feel round Earth is a right. Any insight into Earth's shape? It would stand to reason a fragment wouldn't be a perfect sphere. Or would it?
The Earth is not a perfect sphere. If it were, we wouldn't have oceans. Okay, it's more oval than anything else. But it is not flat like a frying pan. It is not. And for those of you who think it is, I'm sorry to burst your bubble. It is not flat like a plate. It just isn't. And what would you think if you were to find out that Earth is in fact Maldek? I wonder what you would think about that.
That's an interesting question, Alex, because somebody said that to me just like less than 12 hours ago. Told me that story.
Mm. Yeah, it's an interesting, it's interesting to ponder. Do we have more questions?
That's it. All right. Okay. We'll have another webinar on that one. Okay. from BT. Hi, Alex. Are the AI and Satanism two faces of the same side, or are they separate and competing forces? Is one the creation of the other?
They are separate and competing forces. Yes. They may align at some point, but for the most part, they are separate and competing ideals.
Okay. From Russell. Around Christmas time, you said the Queen recorded a video to humanity saying it was the last Christmas and they were sorry, but did what was necessary to preserve themselves. What was she referring to?
Planet X. Planet X, the Nibiru. But then it stopped, or was stopped, or put on the emergency brake. And most of the world's powers have freaked out. There you go.
There's a lot going on.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is. And as usual, we're the last to find out. You know,
I never get the memo.
Okay, I don't get the Christmas cards either, JP.
No, I've been off the Queen's card list for quite a while now. All right, this is from Ray. Never misses it. He never misses your webinars. Dear Alex, do you know the significance of O negative blood type? I've read a lot already. I'm interested in any purpose or meaning in regard to ascension or healing, etc. Thank you for everything. Always, Ray.
You know, I've had some stuff said to me in the past, and there are people that espouse that it's reptilian, and it's not. It is off world. It did come from off world. That much I do know. How significant it is, I don't know. I find it interesting that O negative is a universal donor. Even though it has to take its own blood type, but yet it can give to others. I think that's pretty cool. I mean, what I do know for a fact is that it originally came from off world. Okay? But it is not regressive. It is not reptilian. It isn't any of that. But it is off-world. And many different human species RO negative. Off-world. Not all, but many are. So, if you're O negative, you're an alien. Welcome to the party.
Yeah, well, if you're an alien, are there A positive aliens though? I mean, because it's a simian thing, isn't it? Are there positive aliens?
They can all be, you know. They can all be.
Everybody join the party, alien party. Okay, from Alejandro. Now, I'm going to mispronounce a whole bunch of weird words, but he's asking if any of these are familiar. Number one, Kingu, or Kingu Baba, or Red Kingu, Green Kingu, Usungbao, Anuna, Miminu, Mushkir, Amashutum, Nungal, Amaagi, Imdugud. Anything?
No.
Okay.
Doesn't ring in.
Next question. Okay, sorry, Alejandro. I hope I pronounced them as well. You know, I don't know what language that is. Barbara, here's a quick maintenance. Alex, you often look over to your left. This happened in the last webinar. Is someone there with you?
Okay, the way this is laid out, and I will just turn this so you can see. That's where people walk by.
Here we go. Turning around. There we go.
Okay.
The window.
Okay. Yes. So I'm always mindful when people walk by.
The people look in and like, is he on? He's on the world stage here. Thousands of people are listening to him.
They have no clue. But, you know, some people do stop and they look or they try to listen, or they'll sit here in the racks and look for their movies or their audio books and things like that. So that's all. They don't have a curtain.
All right. So it's not like you've got a spirit guide who you keep looking over to see.
No, it is nothing cool like that at all. So...
Okay, from Karen again. There is a video on YouTube from June 9th which shows a moon-like structure in the skies north of Alaska. Is this the celestial body that you were talking about? Are they continuing with starting contact protocols with Earth?
To the second part of your question, yes. Where those are, I do not know. And I don't know that I would... I don't know how much more I'll be briefed on that anyway. But as far as I know, yes, there's a lot of conversation. Because it's complicated. Earth is complicated. You know, you want to empower, but at the same time, you don't want to create all this fear because you've got this group here and this one particular bloodline that are just wreaking havoc. So it's tricky. It's tricky. As far as the video from June 9th, I haven't seen it, so I don't know what it shows. But I will look for it, June 9th, Alaska. I'll look for it, and hopefully I'll find it.
Okay, next one from Sandy. Alex, what do you mean full court press is about to be unleashed? Can you give us some specifics to watch out for?
Oh, terrorism. They will create earth changes, financial crises, all the things that they control that we see as our daily life, that they control and manipulate. What they'll do is they start tweaking these things to make everybody very uncomfortable. Okay? And as people get uncomfortable, people go into fear. When people are in fear, they get angry. And when people are angry, they lash out and they cause destruction. And ultimately, that all leads to very, very negative field. And that's what they thrive on, is the negative field. It empowers them. That's what I'm referring to as the full court press. Okay? Or I could have used the expression, shit's going to hit the fan. I think you know what that means. So, but I didn't. I used the full court press, NBA finals and everything. So, there you go.
All right, here's an interesting question from... it's just BT. Is it allowed by universal principle that a higher being to trick a lower ones to decide for something, still not breaking the principle of free will of the lower being? I think, did that make sense? If a higher being tricks a lower being into in some kind of agreement, is that still within the bounds of free will?
No, that's not cool. That's totally not cool. And that's kind of why we're in this predicament. And, you know, that's why we have a lot of pretty good cops in the solar system at this particular time. Because these jackals, that's exactly what they did. You know, they came in with all this technology, with all of this spiritual technology, okay? Technology, key operative word here. And they came in and they created an elaborate twisting of truth and hoax to fool our planetary representatives into taking a position that was literally a checkmate. And they knew exactly what they were doing, these regressive groups. They knew exactly what they were doing. It was an absolute, outright manipulation. And no, it's not okay. It is not cool to do that.
Thank you. Okay, hi Alex. What do you know, this is from Denise, what do you know about the so-called kill shot predicted by Major Ed Danes related to the, she says sun colliding with the earth. I seem to remember it was a big solar flare. I honor, love, and respect the light and the life within you, Denise.
That's not how we're going out. That's not how we're going out. Okay.
Okay. From Marlene, with the Nibiru situation, is the sun's twin also involved in any of the Earth change activity, or is it not a significant part of the current events?
Oh, it's a very significant part of current events. It's a very, very significant part. The dwarf star is what Nibiru rotates around. Okay, and that's the sun's sister, stepsister, distant sister, red-headed stepchild, whatever you want to call it. That's the second sun. Nibiru, the Anunnaki, their planets, their moons, revolve around the dwarf star. Okay, it is just not a star. There are seven very large planetary bodies that are in the tail of it, okay? We're talking about a solar system that is passing through our solar system. That's why it gets pretty sketchy, and it has in the past. And if you were on previous calls, there are scientists who have looked at who have taken the passing of this dwarf star, this solar system, the Earth's twin, and every time it passes through here, there have been extinction-level events on Earth. And probably on other planets as well, but you know, we're not there to take those readings, to do the archaeology. So we don't know. But here on Earth, the timelines absolutely coincide. So that should give you something to think about, and certainly something to research.
Thank you. When you refer to the powers that be, can you be more specific about who are they? Anunnaki, reptilians, archons, etc. Can you explain how they're related, structurally organized? Who's at the top of the pyramids? Who's in the middle? Who's at the low end? Who's in charge? What's the structure of the enemy?
The structure of the enemy is basically a committee of all of the above. But there is, in fact, a pecking order. Extraterrestrials, they sit at the council. They're basically calling the shots. The minions, which is a very good analogy, are half-breeds and then humans. Okay, there's three or four levels. Humans are at the very bottom. But they will do anything for their masters, because if they don't, not only they will die, but their entire family will die. The entire bloodline, etc. That's how it works. But of course, they agreed to do this in the first place. And they are given, you know, wealth and earthly power. But they are essentially a slave to this group. That's how it works.
Birgit, are there still many exchange programs going on between human and extraterrestrial races?
No, not right now. Not right now. I know that there are some other people saying that, but to my knowledge, that is absolutely not happening, and it is not being allowed to happen. It's just not being allowed to happen.
Okay. Interesting. This is from BT again. Hi, Alex. Do you know which force influences the increasing number of mass murderers to do what they do? And how do we protect ourselves against it?
God, that's a great question. And I don't believe there's one simple answer to it. I don't know how to answer that question without really getting myself into trouble. Or I should say painting a target on my back, an even bigger target than there already is. So I don't know how to answer that without getting myself into a lot of trouble.
Could you give us a few keywords that people could do some Google searching for instance?
Mind control, pharmaceuticals, religious dogma.
Thank you.
See them as interconnected. See them as interconnected.
Yep. Excellent. Good answer, I think. Safe and good answer. Here's a question from Patty. In one of your old videos, I detected an accent which you no longer have. Where were you born and how long have you lived in the US? Also, you mentioned that they had originally contacted you in North County, San Diego. Where exactly was that? Did it take place?
Okay, well, I was born in upstate New York. And I don't know where that came from. The speculation is that there was something wrong with the recording, the voice recording part of that. And the actual first contact was in Michigan, upstate Michigan. So I never said it was in North San Diego.
Thanks. From Renee, what do you know about the Lyrans?
The originally seeded human civilization in our galaxy. Very well developed when they were first seeded in our galaxy. My understanding is that they journeyed from a galaxy that was imploding. It was going into a black hole. So they migrated out all the civilizations in that particular galaxy were migrating out into different directions. My understanding is that the founders, a.k.a. Patel, helped them, gave them direction as to where they should go in order to be able to find a habitable system. If there was any other assistance than that, I'm not aware of it. But there was apparently guidance. Now, some extraterrestrial groups refer to the Patel as founders, okay? Just so we're clear. They came fully formed. Their civilization was very much established before they got here. It was just a question of taking it out of motherships and putting it on the planet and developing it and building it on the surface of a planet or multiple planets. Okay, that's essentially what had to be done. And it was a great deal of work, from what I understand. And they were remarkably successful as well. There was just a competing fraction here that did not understand humans. And for some reason saw the ingenuity of humans as a threat. And the first physical encounters didn't go well at all. My understanding is that the reptilian races completely overreacted, and then in response to the overreaction, the Lyrans overreacted. And it just turned into a real mess, a real disaster, which lasted, you know, tens of thousands and thousands of years. But it forced change, and it also forced the colonization of our galaxy, as opposed to just being one area. It literally forced the colonization of our entire galaxy by multiple races. So you could look at it as a terrible issue, but the outcome of it was that humanity migrated to all different parts of the galaxy, and they created their own civilizations, their own languages, their own technologies. Their physical forms, their DNA, things were changed and altered based on their environment, which gives us an enormous amount of diversity. But because of the ingenuity of humanity, different spiritual technologies, different spiritual teachings, different technology, different perspectives, all formed that have benefited everyone now, okay? In the sense that humanity in this galaxy is very well versed in the benefits of diversity and the value that all races can bring to the table as long as they're not hostile. Is an incredibly positive experience. We just still have a few bad apples who just won't get with the program. So.
Well, yeah.
You know, and they've dug their own grave. They have backed themselves into a corner by simply choosing not to participate in a positive manner. So they're being dealt with because everybody's dumb. Everyone's sick of it. You know, just sick of it. So they're being expelled from school.
Yep, and bad apples can always be turned to cider. So... probably one final question, and yeah. I'm also interested in the answer to this. How's that book of yours coming? The Adventures of Captain Dinar.
Will that see the light of day as a book or a TV series or a film or some other media, a cartoon?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Let's just leave it at that for now. I don't know.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, JP, James, all of you. Thank you so much for your time and your support in doing this. I hope you still find value in it. I enjoy it immensely, and you know, you're an extension of my you're extended family to me. Because you know, I can't talk woo-woo with anybody, with many folks. You know, most people that I see every day, they have no idea of this part of me. So, God bless you. Thank you so much.
It's marvelous to be able to talk woo-woo with you. I'm looking forward to talking twice, double woo-woo, that's woo-woo, woo-woo, for the next month. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you, Alex. And I must say, you're looking very well. And
well, it's summer. I'm doing a lot of walking.
Excellent.
Thank you. Okay.